Hi everyone, this is Jamie Jo Wright at Mad Lit Musings, and I'm really happy that you're with us today here on the podcast. And I have a special guest with us today who's got a book releasing this month. I have author Emily Conrad. Hi, Emily.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
No problem. That was also probably the geekiest hi I've ever said on the show.
I think I gave it right back to you. I did. Yep. No,
I was like,
I'm with you.
It came out of my mouth and I'm like, that is embarrassing.
Nope, we're in it together.
All right, sounds good. Well, for readers who don't know, Emily is practically a neighbor. We both live in the same state, the state of Wisconsin or the state of confusion. You can take your pick. And so Emily and I met a few years ago, and it's been fun to watch your career blossom. And you've got quite a few books under your belt now. How many have you written?
I think eight.
I was gonna say, you gotta be creeping up to 10. Pretty close. Yeah.
I have to, sometimes I struggle with that because I'm like, well, do the novellas count? And I'm like, yes, okay, the novellas count. And then
I've been told they do. But I never do include my novellas. So now I have to rethink that.
So now that's, see, how many books have you written,
hey,
Jamie?
I guess I've written more than I
You've
thought.
You've gotta be creeping up there too.
I think right now, as far as published, let's see here. My 10th one just came out, not including novellas. So that would be 13.
See?
And then I've got
you're
two
much better
written
at it than
that are
me.
Under my belt. I haven't given up. Oh, fun, fun. And you just finaled for Christie Award.
I did.
And that's no small feat.
That was pretty amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was like a career highlight. Yep.
Oh, for sure. Which book finaled?
It was the fourth book, the fourth full book. There's a novella in there.
Okay.
In the Rhythms of Redemption romances. So it was okay. To Believe in You.
Okay.
I like all my books, and as I put them out, I'm proud of them. Okay. But as I was writing that one, or as maybe not writing it, but starting the editing process, I kind of felt like there was something different about that one.
Yeah.
And it was neat to see that
do its thing. Yeah. That's so exciting though when it finals. And if readers aren't familiar, the Christie Awards are often compared to the Oscar Awards as far as Christian fiction is concerned, and being a finalist is a huge, huge deal in and of itself. So congratulations on that. That was really exciting to see.
Thank you. Yeah.
But your new book that is out is Bidding on Second Chance, and that comes out this month, correct?
It does. Yeah.
Okay.
Just under 2 weeks now until that one comes out.
All right.
It's in a multi-author series, which is a first for me. So it has been a lot of fun kind of learning how to make that happen and how to like line up the stories and the characters that overlap and give people cameos. And it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. That's gotta be kind of tricky. Are the books tied together because of location?
Yeah. They're all set in the same Colorado town. And I had initially written this story and set it in Wisconsin. And the story didn't, I submitted it somewhere. I had written it specifically for, actually I had tried writing it for Love Inspired.
Okay.
But it didn't work. And so I had this story and, had it set in Wisconsin, and they invited me to this series. And the only reason I was able to say yes was because I already had a story that I could use for it.
Yeah.
So I changed the setting and I rewrote a few other things, and like I said, worked with the other authors on things like making sure our characters are all part of the same community, and it was a lot of fun. So
that's cool. I've always kind of wondered how that works with those, especially when you have characters with cameos, but they're not characters that you necessarily created.
Mm-hmm.
So does the author who created it then have to like proof those scenes to make sure it's consistent?
Yeah, that's it. So we have a spreadsheet, so we know like traits about the various characters, and usually the cameos are fairly small.
Okay.
But it was that was probably the part I was most nervous about too, was mm-hmm. like, because characters end up with so many nuances and things like that they would or wouldn't do. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the time what we'll do is, as we're writing it, if we put someone else's character in the scene, just sending them that screenshot quick and being okay. like, does this work for you? Do you need me to change anything? And sometimes the answer is yes, and sometimes it's like, nope, you got what you needed off the spreadsheet, I guess, because perfect. This works. So
perfect.
Yeah.
That's neat. A spreadsheet, that makes a lot of sense. I guess I haven't even thought of that. So, because like the yeah. extra hair color and eye color and
yep, and different and all that. Businesses around town, who works at the businesses, different town events, because it's a Christmas series. We have so many Christmas events happening in this one little town.
Wow.
So it's like, it's all on a spreadsheet. So,
it's a Christmas town. What does the town do for the rest of the year?
Well, I don't know. I've never been there in like March. It's very busy in December though, I can
yes, apparently.
There are a lot of ranches around. I'm sure spring's a busy time on a ranch.
Probably. Yep.
Yeah.
Well, now you guys will have to do your spring release of all the
That's
Easter
true.
The Easter releases.
Easter edition.
Exactly. So, okay. So tell us a little bit about what Bidding on Second Chance is about.
Sure. It's obviously a second chance romance. Yeah. A couple of years before the story starts, Graham, the hero, proposed and Piper turned him down. They ended up breaking up and going their separate ways. But Graham was never very satisfied about the reasons that she gave for declining. So he still got some unfinished business all these years later. And Piper owns a small business and she has volunteered to do this big donation for this charity auction. And then she gets hurt and she's not able to do the work that she had agreed to do and they're counting on her. And that's where Graham comes in. So he steps in to help her meet this obligation and that really gets the ball rolling. So
That's fun. So I never asked this question ever on the podcast, but I'm going to ask you, where did you get the inspiration for this story?
So
we're laughing just for backstory for everybody listening. We're laughing because when you're asked as an author where you got the inspiration for the story, it's like one of the most exhausting questions to be asked. So I told Emily before we went on the air, I was like, I won't ask you that. She's like, I actually have a good answer for it.
I have an answer. Yeah. Right. Inspiration is like the hardest part, like a story idea is the hardest part for me. I hear some authors talk about like, I have all these ideas and I don't know what to do with them all. And I'm like, no. But about, you know what? It was 5 years ago.
Okay.
So 5 years ago, I got a text from my mom that said, no alarm, but I was hit by a pickup truck in the parking lot. And I was like, I didn't know what to think about it because it was just this like, she's like, I'm at the walk-in clinic, no alarm. And I'm like, do you mean your car was hit? Like,
right.
It was a pedestrian accident. And she did get banged up in the accident. But that text was just so surprising to get. Mm-hmm. And I really didn't know what to make of it at first.
Yeah.
And so I thought, what if someone sent a text like this to someone they didn't intend to send it to?
Ooh.
And what would that person do? So the very first scene in the book, so I can tell you all this because this is how the book starts. So it's not a spoiler.
No spoilers.
Graham gets this text from Piper and she's like, no alarm. But I was in this accident. And Graham is a police officer and
Okay.
he is alarmed.
Oh, yeah.
So then the whole thing is like, well, where do they go from here? Because they have all of this history and what is he going to do about it? And Graham is kind of a protective hero, which for me are one of the fun ones to
Oh,
write.
yeah. Yeah.
So obviously that protective instinct kicks in and the
That's
story is
cool.
off and running. So that was
That's a good
the
inspiration.
story seed.
Well,
Yeah.
I
I
shouldn't say
mean,
good inspiration. I mean, I'm
yeah.
not glad your mom was hit by a car or
Right.
truck.
And we are grateful that it wasn't more serious than it
Yeah,
was.
for
She
sure.
did get banged up. So it wasn't like when I first got that text though, it was just so I
Alarming.
well, it was alarming, but it was also like no alarm. It says no
Yes,
alarm. Like it was
right.
just it was confusing.
That would be,
And it just and shocking, I
yeah.
suppose. And it just made such an impression that it was like, there is a story here.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That's a really neat idea, though. I like the concept that she would accidentally text it to the wrong person. And then that kind of revives that old interest.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And cops as heroes are always a little bit of a bonus,
Little
I
fun.
think.
Yeah, yeah. I think you're in good company with that. I hope you are. Hopefully
Yeah.
people like him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a lot of fun to write. And to make that accidental text happen, part of that is how he got his name, why he is named Graham. So
Okay.
yeah,
Oh, my goodness.
a little more intrigue for
A little
you.
bit more intrigue. And
Yeah.
yes, you're not going to tell us any more about that, are you?
I suppose I shouldn't. No.
Probably
I
not.
should not. So you go read the book just to find out why Graham got his name.
Yeah,
Yes.
that's the main plot of the story.
Right. Why did the author make that choice? Read
What is
the
significant?
book.
Oh, it's funny. So does your mom know that she was the impetus for this
I
story?
got her permission
Did
because
you?
it was like it was so much like yeah,
Yeah.
it was so very inspired. Yeah, I asked. I made sure it was okay with her.
Yeah.
So yeah, I did it with her blessing.
That's cool. That's good. Thanks, Mom. Thanks for getting hit and for being okay.
Yes, and for being okay and
Right.
for I she's been a big support the whole,
Oh, yeah.
the whole writing journey.
I'm
So
sure. I'm sure. That's awesome. I love it. I love it. That's cool. All right. So, Christmas stories. This is the first Christmas one you've written, correct?
well,
Or no, am I
one of
wrong?
those novellas.
Huh? Let's not forget the
Right. Let's see. There it is. It's in the corner with the ring light in it.
Oh, yeah.
That series has a Christmas novella. It comes between books one and two. And it's maybe the most overlooked in the series. I don't know if it's because it's a novella, but like you can tell that only like one out of five people who read the series have actually read that.
Oh,
So
interesting.
it's a hidden gem of the Rhythms of Redemption series.
That's the one that's an awestruck Christmas medley, correct?
Yes, that's it. Yep.
All right, I'm looking on your
And
website.
I gave each of the heroes a point of view in that one, which is why it's called a medley because they're
Oh, that's
all
cool.
contributing to the story. And I had a lot of fun with that.
Yeah.
I set it, the guys start in Chicago and they're headed into Wisconsin, but there's a huge blizzard. It's shutting everything down. And so how are they going to get where they're going for Christmas? And so there's family drama and a little bit of romance and a lot of snow. So
Which is really typical of Wisconsin. I mean, let's face
yeah.
it. Because you actually have to have, I mean, for people who don't know this area, you actually have to have a lot of snow to shut things down.
I had a lot of snow. It was a blizzard, so they were shutting down it was the airports that they were shutting
Okay.
down. So by the time they make it up into Wisconsin, I think at least 14 inches of snow are on the ground.
Makes sense.
And so that causes travel difficulties because the plows aren't keeping up. So there's a lot of snow on the road and
Yeah. Which is funny because I don't know if you've ever run into this, but I've had people where I'm kind of like talking to them about how, yeah, it was like a foot of snow and we finally started shutting things. And they're like, no, you start shutting things down after 2 or 3 inches. You really need to make that more realistic. And I'm like, no, not in Wisconsin. 2 or 3 inches is like rain. It's not a big deal.
Do you, the one thing, the, well, I don't know what you call this. What do you call this, Jamie?
I don't know.
The brand name is, or that it's usually sold under is Muddy Buddies. Is that what you call it? Oh, okay. In my circles, people call it puppy chow. Have you heard that?
I have heard that.
Okay.
I've heard both. The puppy
And
chow
Muddy
always
Buddy
like,
is like a registered trademark type thing.
yeah, that's true. I grew up with it being Muddy Buddy.
Okay, you did.
But then a lot of our like recent times where we've had like youth group events and things like that, the kids are like, I'm bringing puppy chow. And the first time they said
Okay.
they were bringing puppy chow, I was like, I don't have a
You're
dog.
doing what?
Like,
Yes.
why
And
are
that's
you bringing?
exactly what my editor did. Why is he buying dog food?
That's awesome.
I thought it was
Yeah.
a Wisconsin thing. Maybe it's not. Or maybe it's just this, like maybe it's pockets, or maybe, I
It
don't know.
could be. Well, and it probably is a Wisconsin thing. It just depends on if your family's like, because I've got some family from out of state, so you know, and they're the ones that make it.
Oh,
So they call it Muddy
yeah.
Buddies. So if they come to a family thing, then
Okay.
that's where
Okay.
the
That could
connotation
be.
was for me. But I had that with my editor. She was in the car and she turned the blinker on
Oh.
to make a left turn. And he put a comment on it. He goes, they don't call them blinkers, they call them turn signals. And I emailed him back and I said, well, actually in Wisconsin we call them blinkers. And so we had this kind of like fun little argument going back and
Yeah.
forth whether I would use blinkers or turn signal. And we did finally go with turn signal because his argument was, this book is not just going to be read by people in Wisconsin. Okay, fine. Call it a
But
turn
he
signal.
knew what you meant. I feel like that could be the
Yeah, I
other
think he
argument.
did. He was from Minnesota, so I think they probably use
Oh.
blinkers up there too. But I did
Okay.
ask somebody in California, they're like, I don't know what a blinker is. I'm like, how do you not know what a blinker
Yeah.
is?
They let you down,
I
your
did.
California
Oh,
friend.
geez. Thanks, California.
Yeah.
Once again, you let me down.
It is funny though, you don't realize how much stuff is just like, oh, that was just your experience or your area until you start working with editors.
Yeah. What's the same thing with pop, like soda pop? Like we call it
I
pop. Do
don't.
you want some pop? What kind of pop are you bringing to the picnic? And people, pop? You mean soda? I'm like, well, that sounds weird. I'm not bringing baking soda.
See, I struggle with that too, but I live in a soda area.
Oh, do you?
I do, yeah.
Oh, we're all pop.
So every time I write it in a story, I feel self-conscious about it because I know that there are so many different opinions and that they're very strong.
They
But I
are.
feel really weird writing pop, just like I'm sure you feel writing soda.
Right.
And it's like, do I have to call it that? I
Know.
don't know.
I know. Well, then what's funny is I think it's in the South, it's some Southern states, and I'm not going to generalize and say the full South, but some places they call it Coke and not
Yeah.
capitalized as the brand, but it's Coke stands for any type of soda pop.
Yeah, or soft drink.
Right, or soft drink. Why is it called
Maybe.
soft drink?
I don't know.
Is some drinks hard?
Maybe the alcoholic ones?
Well, yeah, that's true. Oh, maybe. So it's a
Maybe that's
soft
why
drink.
it is.
But
I
then
never
milk is
really
a
thought
soft
about
drink.
it. Milk is a soft drink. Yep.
Wow. We
Juice.
get real deep here at Mad Lit Musings.
Let
Regional
us know.
colloquialisms.
Be sure to email Jamie. Let us
Yes,
know
let
your
us
vote.
know. What's your vote? What do you call pop? Do you know what a Muddy Buddy is? Do you know what puppy chow is? Do you use a blinker or a turn signal? And how much snow shuts your community down?
Well, you get a lot of variety
Oh,
there.
yeah. No kidding. No kidding. Oh, man. So this is cool. So what's next on the list for Emily Conrad? Do we have stuff coming out in 2024 to look forward to?
I sure hope so. I am working on the first full-length novel in my next series. It's set in Iowa this time, so a little bit of a change of scenery. And I am supposed to have it, the first draft, done within a week or so. And I'm still like 30,000 words away from that. So we'll see. I mean, it's not due to my editor until February. So it was just trying to allow time for critique partners and, cause I don't know what, your process is, but I usually finish my draft and do what I can with it. And then I usually work with a couple critique partners, before I end up sending it off to my editor. So
there's a process.
So it could be, it could be a little bit of a rush on the critique part of it. But hopefully I'll have a draft that I'm happy with soon that I can send off to them.
Cool. So, awesome.
Yeah.
Well, and if readers want to learn more about you, because you've got at least 8 books that they can read.
Depends on
how you count. Where do they go to find you, and where do you want to send them?
EmilyConradAuthor.com is a good place to start.
All right. Sounds good. Well, Emily, it was super fun to have you here. And I'm not sure that we solved all of the problems with what words should be used, but I think we made a good start.
Yeah, I think we made a dent.
Yeah, we did. Okay. Sure. Well, thanks so much for being here today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.